Daniel 4, in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. And again, Nebuchadnezzar is entering in and claiming that place that God gave to him because he is king over all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth. He is the first world ruler. And so he said, I thought it good to show these signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Now that's the same message or the same proclamation that he made at least twice before, as in chapter 247 and in 328. How great, verse 3, are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and you can underline it, flourishing in my palace. This can be a very dangerous place, and it really proved to be that for Nebuchadnezzar. Complacency is one of the greatest enemies that we have. Even Job himself, you'll find it in Job 3:28. He said, then shall I die in my nest. And that's when things got rough for him, we might say. Because God does not want us to get too comfortable and where that we become passive in the things of God. Now, this goes on here, and again, we're going to see how that it seems like that Nebuchadnezzar could go from one extreme to the other about as quick and severe as anyone that we have in Scripture. So in verse 4, again, he was at rest. In verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. And so it seems that God really used dreams in order to deal with this man, in order to speak to him. And so this time, again, he had a dream. And in verse 6, therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now this time, Nebuchadnezzar did remember the dream. You can contrast that with chapter 2:5, where he had the dream and he didn't know what he dreamed. But here he remembers the dream, but the wise men could not interpret it. Verse 7, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. At the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. O Belteshazzar. Now this word Belteshazzar, we noted it last week. It's Daniel's Chaldean name, and it means Lord of the Straitened's treasure. Lord of the Straitened's treasure. And he was the Lord of the Straitens, or indeed of Nebuchadnezzar, or Babylon's treasure. That's what Daniel really was. He was a counselor. He was really dominant over Nebuchadnezzar, even though Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it. But he actually was named right, even in the Chaldean tongue. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now, the first thing that we see about Nebuchadnezzar, it seems like he's slipped a little bit here, because this is really not the recognizing the God of heaven the way he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the previous chapter. And so, I know simply that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. No secret troubles you. Tell me the vision of my dream, that I have seen the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew, and it was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the end of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. and it was meat for all. Now this really is, it is, as we're going to find out, this is a description, it is God's description of Nebuchadnezzar. Meat for all, and that is that he was responsible and he did provide the food for all of these. The beast of the field and the shadow, meaning that he provided protection for the beast. And then the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. And notice, all flesh was fed by it. He provided food and shelter for all of this entire kingdom. Verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. Now that watcher is rather interesting. It means an angel as a guardian to wake or to open the eyes. This watcher is one who is a guardian for the purpose of revealing truth, making known these mysteries. And God is going to open Nebuchadnezzar's eyes as to his purpose. And we'll find that in verse 25. So I saw in the vision of my head this watcher, and Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches. And you will notice that he uses a personal pronoun for this tree. It's not it, not shake off its leaves, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from it and the fowls from his branches. We are going to see that Daniel interprets it, the tree that Nebuchadnezzar saw is actually himself. Verse 15, nevertheless leave the stump of his roots. And you can underline that because, as we're going to see, this is exactly what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Leave the stump of his roots in the earth, with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his, that is Nebuchadnezzar's, portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. Let a beast's heart be given unto him. Let seven times pass over him. Seven times means 7 years. It is prophetic of the 7-year abasement of the Antichrist, who will be manifested as a beast during that time. Verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Once again, the same meaning we had before. And the demand by the word of the Holy Ones to the intent. This, notice he gives the purpose of why this is going to happen. The intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. This is what Nebuchadnezzar still hadn't gotten through his head. And so God is going to reinforce the fact that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomsoever he will. He sets up over it the basest of men. We have seen that down through the ages. As you look at the rulers, and some of them kings and dictators that have been set up, they really are the basest of men. So just because a man is in a place of leadership and authority does not mean that he is a good man or qualified for the job at all. And so it is God who even sets up the basest of men. And when it comes down to the Antichrist, believe me, he will be the basest of men. As have been so many other heads of state down through the years. In verse 18 we read, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished, or he was stunned for 1 hour. And I think he was stunned, as we'll get on down here, because he knew, when he first heard it, he knew the meaning, he knew the interpretation, and yet he really, as we'll find him saying here, he really did not want it to refer to Nebuchadnezzar, but I think he actually knew the first time he heard it that what he was hearing. So he was stunned for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered, said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. This seems to be what Daniel wished it would be, and yet he knew it was not. He knew that it did not apply to Nebuchadnezzar's enemies. He knew full well that it was intended for Nebuchadnezzar himself, as we'll see. Notice verse 20, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof much, and it was meant for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. Verse 22, it is thou, O king. And so he tells him, this tree which you have seen is you. Thou art grown and become strong. Thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven. Thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let the portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times, again that is 7 years, pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, and you can underline it, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This is the lesson that God had to teach Nebuchadnezzar by experience. And many times, as we see, God's lessons only last until his purpose has been realized. Once Nebuchadnezzar learned what God wanted him to know, as we'll find later on that he did, then this difficulty was over and he was restored. But that's what this dream is all about. Verse 26, whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. That means it is not time for the Babylonish empire to end. I do not know how many years that Nebuchadnezzar has left, but we do know that the Babylonish kingdom lasted beyond Nebuchadnezzar, beyond his son, and it was in the reign of his grandson that the Medo-Persian empire finally took over. And so that stump was going to remain. God was not going to end the Babylonish empire at this time. After that, he says, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He said, you will be restored after you learn who's the boss around here, so to speak, that God is still God, and so that the heavens do rule. Nebuchadnezzar had actually evidently forgotten that God is the one who brought him to the throne. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins. Now you will notice that God is not doing this just because he can. He's not doing it just to be mean to Nebuchadnezzar. He's not doing it just because he thinks it would be a good idea. But there is sin here in the pride and the arrogance, the independence of Nebuchadnezzar. And so, let my counsel be accepted unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He is saying to him, you can prevent this if you change your behavior now. And that's exactly what the watcher wanted Nebuchadnezzar to do. He wanted him to wake up and to realize what was happening and what God was wanting to do and the purpose that God had. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is a real good example of one who has appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. That tract is available if you'd like to read it. And this is one of the examples that we use. That we are appearing before the judgment seat of Christ at the present time. And that's exactly what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He appeared before the judgment seat of Christ, of God, and God pointed out the flaw. He pointed out the problem. And he gave him, according to this verse, a year, 12 months, to repent. He gave him that time to correct what was wrong. But it is quite clear that Nebuchadnezzar did not correct what was wrong. Verse 30, the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon, you can underline it, that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesties? We find the same thing in many rulers today. They really do believe they are responsible for all of the good and everything that has happened, all of the accomplishments, and they point to themselves in doing so. It is important to notice here that when God decides to do something, then it can happen in a hurry. Yes?
You know what I'm seeing like Jesus said, I'm the true vine and you're the branches. It's like when he's showing Nebuchadnezzar, look here, I'm the source. I'm the true vine and you're the branches. Because he told that Nebuchadnezzar, hey, look, you cut down that tree and that dream and all the things that you think that you've accomplished.
Well, it's the same thing that he wants, Nebuchadnezzar knows that he is the responsible one. He is the power and not Nebuchadnezzar.
No,
exactly.
No.
All right. You will notice in verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth. You see, now, this has gone on for 12 months, a year. He's had time to correct what was wrong. But at the end of that time, when the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. That's how swift the judgment of God is whenever God is ready to pour it out. They shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And again here, Nebuchadnezzar is typical of the Antichrist who will rule as a beast for 7 years. He is called a beast. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, 7 times shall pass over thee, that is 7 years, until thou know, once again, this is the purpose, as he said before, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. It is God who is sovereign here, Nebuchadnezzar, and not you. Verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled, We're going to find that same thing whenever the kingdom was taken away, finally taken away from his grandson Belshazzar. And so here, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. This is also God's view of national and religious leaders of the end time. They are beasts insofar as God is concerned, and this is his view. And so in verse 34, at the end of the days, well, according to this, what we read here, the end of the days, verse 25, would have been 7 years. 7 years after this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. So all of that time he was out here, and this man literally had lost his mind. That's all there is to it. And the first thing he did, I blessed the Most High. He came to that knowledge that God wanted him to have in the first place. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. You will notice how far this man has come. Once again, he has come to the other end of the spectrum, that of believing and acknowledging, giving glory and honor unto God, when before he had completely denied him and given all that glory and honor unto himself. Verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. I want to notice that the nations are also going to learn exactly this same message. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And men are finally, the nations are finally going to understand that no, you cannot dictate to God the way that you think you can and the way that you have tried to. So men will come to this same conclusion in after the tribulation period is over. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And so God took it away, and now then, of course, God has also restored that and literally made him that head of gold that he once was. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And so these verses are Nebuchadnezzar's own personal testimony, and he is living proof. I mean, he knows by experience that those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He learned that by literal, actual experience. Now, before we leave this, let us understand, we have seen that Nebuchadnezzar is typical of the Antichrist in a number of ways. Let me assure you, the Antichrist is not going to repent and come to his right mind. He is going to be judged and cast into the lake of fire. So let's make that distinction in this representative here, because Nebuchadnezzar does not teach that the Antichrist is going to finally see the error of his ways and come to repentance, because he is not. He will be as a beast, and he will be judged as a beast in that final hour. And as we read there in Revelation, the beast, the Antichrist, along with the false prophet, shall be cast into the lake of fire. All right. This is as far as we will go this evening. We will continue with the story jumps from Nebuchadnezzar down to his grandson Belshazzar in chapter 5. So there are a number of years, that is, Nebuchadnezzar's son. We will see his name a little bit later on, but the history here jumps clear over a generation to the grandson.